You're listening to SBS News.
Video footage captured the verbal altercation between a 17-year-old Aboriginal teenager and New South Wales police officer, which then escalated in the use of physical force in the arrest.
She swore, so what? If you got your police, you shouldn't be swearing at all.
It's in America.
I didn't say that at all, mate. Yes, you do need to open up your ears.
What? I heard you from over here. I don't need to open up my ears.
There you go. I'm sorry. You did not say that.
The youth had allegedly told the officer he would crack him in the jaw. That then led the officer to tell the teenager to turn around and put his hands behind his back. His legs are then kicked out from beneath him before he's handcuffed face down on the ground.
I'll crack your f***ing jaw, bro.
What was that? What was that? Turn around if I can. Come back. Come
here. What? Oi! What the f***?
Him on the face.
You just slammed him on his face! Oi!
What the f*** is this? What the f*** is this?
The officer has been put on restricted duties while Professional Standards Command investigates. The teenager hasn't been charged with any crime and has been released from St Vincent's Hospital, where he received treatment for cuts and grazes to his knee, a bruised shoulder, as well as chipped teeth. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner Mick Willing says it's important to let the investigation unfold.
I'm concerned that people will use this video, this footage, to create it into something that it's not. As I said, we're all well aware of what's happening overseas, but this is not the United States of America. We have very, very good relations with our local community, and I'm concerned that that people will preempt the outcomes of this investigation and draw conclusions prior to that outcome, those outcomes being realised.
The death of an unarmed African American at the hands of Minneapolis police has sparked days of widespread protests in the United States, with curfews imposed on at least 40 cities. An independent autopsy found that 46-year-old George Floyd died of asphyxiation from sustained pressure when his neck and back were compressed by Minneapolis police officers during his arrest last week. That moment was filmed, reviving protesters' chants of "I Can't Breathe," originally used in 2014 in anger at the death of 43-year-old African-American man Eric Garner, whose death at the hands of police also triggered protests. In Australia, members of the Indigenous community marched in the streets of Perth this week. They were expressing their support for protesters in the United States, but drawing attention to Indigenous deaths in custody.
It doesn't matter about your colour, or your creed, or your race. All that matters is that you're a human being. That's the most important thing that matters.
You are still a person, and you do not deserve to die in vain.
Paul Silver says when he saw the video of George Floyd being pinned down by three police officers, he couldn't help but be struck by the similarity of the incident to what happened to his uncle. Aboriginal man David Dungay Jr. died at Sydney's Long Bay prison in 2015, held down by five prison guards for refusing to stop eating biscuits. The 26-year-old was heard crying out, "I can't breathe," at least 12 times before he died. Mr. Silver says it has brought back trauma for the family.
And our family do feel for, you know, George Floyd's family, because we do sure know how does it feel to watch our loved one being suffocated.
But he says now is the time to ensure the federal government takes action to stop deaths in custody.
I would say to Australia, we should be just as outraged as the USA with what's happening here in our own backyard. You know, First Nations people are being killed and dying in custody, and there's really nothing to, like, the government's not doing anything about it. And if they would have implemented the recommendations from the Royal Commission, you know, David Dungay Jr. and many others could have still been alive today.
Dungay is one of 432 Aboriginal deaths in custody since the Royal Commission in 1991. Just in the last year, Yuindamu teen Kumanjayi Walker and Joyce Clark from Geraldton were both shot by police, while in Victoria, an Aboriginal man and woman died in police custody in separate events. Only a handful of the Commission's 339 recommendations were implemented. Federal Labor's Indigenous Affairs spokeswoman Linda Burney has told the ABC it's disappointing that Indigenous Australians continue to be overrepresented in the prison population.
In the Northern Territory, for example, something like 90% of the adult prison population is Aboriginal. In many other states and territories, including Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, and New South Wales, the Indigenous prison population is over 30%. And I think that this issue that's brought this to light in America is a chance for Australia to re-examine what the record is here and make some substantial changes into the way that custodial sentences are dealt with and the way in which Aboriginal people are incarcerated in Australia.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he hopes that United States President Donald Trump is able to resolve the protests peacefully. But speaking on Sydney radio station 2GB, he issued a warning to Australians planning to protest in solidarity.
There's no need to import things from happening in other countries here to Australia. I mean, Australia is a fair country. I mean, Australia is not the United States. I mean, the United States is a great country and they're a great friend of Australia and they're going through a difficult time and we wish them all the best as they deal with that. But it's clearly a very tough period for them.
Alan Lee, SBS News.